It's April 1st, and that means the April Fool's Open, a golf tradition unlike any other. This long storied history that dates back quite a while. In fact, back to a time where records were barely kept. So we believe that this is the fifth April Fool's Open ever.
Who could know?
That will happen today at Prairie Lakes Golf Course in Grand Prairie during the Hardline Show from 3 to 7. The golfers will tee off around 4 o'clock. We hope you can be out there as a part of the gallery or be by the channel here for the exclusive stroke-by-stroke coverage of the April Fool's Open, where we attempt to crown the best worst golfer at the station. The honor roll is illustrious. Danny Bayless was the first winner of this event. My favorite golfer of all time, the great Ty Walker, won the second installment. We're going back years now.
Oh, yeah.
The third winner was our own board op, tip sheet, Tyler Samsel. And last year, the winner was Gen X Davy Lane. Now, once you win, you are no longer eligible to play. Although I do remember, didn't Ty Walker play the year after he won?
I think so.
So somehow there was a little loophole there.
Yeah.
And he was able to play. But generally speaking, if you win, you're deemed too good to play in the April Fool's Open, where we traditionally have had 6 to 9 of the worst golfers at the station. These are people that have barely picked up a club to offer great comedic material. And back in year one of the April Fool's Open, this is going way, way back now, we had our board op at the time, Jillian, who was putting out on a hole. Each tournament is a 3-hole event because it takes these golfers a long time to play 3 holes because that's a lot of shots.
Takes over almost 2 hours.
And while putting out, George was on the call. He was on the green there watching this transpire, and it gave us the greatest laugh in ticket history.
Jer for a 21 on the par 5 fifth hole here at Prairie Lakes. On the way in short. It is short.
Hey, breaking news on number 5. Mike Reiner teeing off on the difficult par 5. The same hole that I believe Jeremy just made a 22 on. Sounds like a 23.
What happened? Jeremy just left the chart for 3 inches away. I've never seen that in my life.
Oh my God!
Is that a 23, Jer? He left it short from 3 inches away.
I don't think George is doing well.
Oh, I'm sorry, Jer.
I'm having a heart attack.
I'm laughing at Jer's face, but that is the funniest thing I think I've ever witnessed.
That might have been the greatest moment in ticket broadcast history. And I don't know what I love more, your laugh or Corby's wild laugh, and he didn't even see
it. Didn't even see it, yeah. It was just, it was 3 inches away. And the reaction was just so funny, too. The foot stomp, and it was really cartoony, and I don't know. Just that, I guess it's one of those things where you had to be there to see it, but it was just amazing.
And to cap off a whole... that where the score was a 23 on the card. Is that an all-time record, by the way?
27 by him. Was it 27, him?
I think so, yeah.
On the same hole. That's such a tough hole. It usually determines the champion, Craig.
That's right. Well, yes, Matt Birmingham is running the board this morning because he's playing this afternoon. So here's your field of the 6 golfers today. You will have Matt Birmingham and our very own Ryan Baldwin. They're going to be playing together, and they are going to start on the par 4 7th.
I almost think that's the featured twosome right there. Baldy and Birmingham.
It may very well be. Let's talk to these guys. Matt, you're a veteran of this event. You've never really played well in it. How are you feeling about today?
I'm feeling pretty good. I picked up the acoustic guitar back here and tried to putt with that, so I think I'm doing do well.
He is dealing with an eye issue this morning, however.
Yeah, it won't affect
your,
me.
What's going on with your eye?
Every once in a while, my eyeball lid will explode and just get really inflamed.
Wow.
You have an inflamed
lid.
Lid.
My lid's inflamed.
Is that an allergy?
I believe so, yeah.
Has he ever gone to get it checked by a doctor?
I don't know. Well, I don't need it checked, yeah.
No. Okay.
All right, so is that going to impact you today?
Not whatsoever.
Okay.
Ham trying to get over the water, I think it was 2 years ago, was maybe the second funniest thing I've seen in this championship. That was amazing.
George, Ham, we happen to have that audio.
Oh,
would you like to hear that?
Oh, yes.
This is in 2023. Again, it's been a long time ago, so I'm not sure of the year, but I believe it was 2023. Five shots to go 5 feet trying to get over the water on that par five.
Oh, my God. Please hit it.
Come on, Ham. Smooth.
This is it. Ham's lining up. He doesn't know there's $100, $125 on this shot.
No chance. Make it a million.
Over the water.
Do this.
Hey, wait a minute. It's short of the water.
It's okay, short of the water.
Okay, he can play it from there.
We're
he
just
can
all
play
clear,
from there.
Right?
Yeah, it's short of the water. He has done the absolute impossible.
I'll let you.
He was 2 feet behind the water, and he hit it 1 foot. Okay. It is short of the water.
He's going
he gets
right
another crack.
Oh, now.
He's being held by his caddy in case he follows through in the water.
He's going to hit him in the head. Yeah, get out of there, dude.
Ryan, get out of the way.
Oh, no. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my gosh. I just whipped. Ryan, move out of the way. You're going to get killed.
Boy, Jer's 23 is off the hook.
Oh.
What did he do?
He
missed the ball.
Swinging it with 2 inches.
It
and a butt divot. A butt divot almost cleared the water.
He hit mud.
Okay, he
flying. He's got to hit it again.
He's got to fall in the water.
Oh, man. So, Ryan, you were his caddy that year?
No, I believe that was Medellin.
Oh, that was Ryan Medellin. Okay, gotcha. That's right. I remember that now.
Yeah, next, if that happens again, Ham, take a drop so you're not in. So you don't have some.
I've gotten pretty good at clearing the water, though. I think that's my signature shot.
Just that was a great shot.
Yeah.
When he eventually lifted it over
the water.
It's the
lead up that gives me issues.
Yeah.
All right. So from the sounds of it, I don't feel great about your chances. I don't want to diminish your chances today, but the swollen eye and just your history of what you've done in this event doesn't give me great confidence. But
someday this odd approach may net a title for him. I really believe that.
And no golfer comes up with better bits than Berm.
Right. Yeah, I love his bits.
So the fans love you because you're wildly entertaining.
Fan favorite, you bet.
And you're playing with Ryan Baldwin. Now, you played last year.
It was my first time, yes, sir.
First time. How are you feeling about year number two?
Feeling good. We're going to be going for the win this year. Last year, I finished second to last, tied with Ham. But I feel like my putter really let me down, especially because I was using a hockey stick for a putter.
Yeah,
that's
you
right.
Ditched your hockey putter?
Yes, we're just going to use the full bag today. We're going to actually go for the win. I'm feeling good.
Is your dad caddying?
It'll be my brother.
Your brother. Yeah. Okay, so you're going younger at that position. I think you have some promise, and maybe it's the whole hockey thing. Well, hockey players make good golfers.
And as Ham discovered on Sunday, I've actually only played hockey once when I was 6 years old, so that doesn't really qualify.
Okay. He just loves
you
the sport. He doesn't really
hockey.
Play
I do.
It.
Okay, and have you played or practiced at all since last year?
I have not picked up a golf stick since the April Fool's Open last year.
Okay, that's what it really is what we want to hear.
Yeah.
That's great.
Right.
Sticking to the spirit of the
right?
Open.
Yeah, I've heard on some other shows this week, or I guess yesterday, there's only been one day in this week, that they were encouraging some of the field to play and to practice, and do they want better golf?
I don't know. I heard there were rumors of getting EA out on a range and getting him instruction from McLaren's brother.
Yeah.
And I just
who's a pro.
And that's fine, but I think that ought to be put into place where, okay, you got 3 weeks. Everyone can practice as much as they want.
Right.
And I don't think it would make just a huge difference. But I love Baldy's approach. Don't touch a club. I'm sure Ham's taking the same approach until he hit the putt with the acoustic guitar this morning.
Ham's approach is don't touch a club or a vegetable.
Yeah, that's perfect.
All right, so we've got Matt and Ryan in that twosome, perhaps the feature twosome. We have, starting on the fifth hole, the par five today, will be the twosome of EA and Deddy. So Deddy is with us, our producer, as always, this morning. And you played last year.
Yes, first time, like Baldy.
Where'd you finish last year?
Finished in second.
Okay.
Yeah, he was okay.
Like three strokes behind Davey, I think. Three or four.
Okay, so do you feel like you're perhaps the favorite this year?
Man, it's hard to say that anybody is really the favorite in this. Like Baldy, I have not swung a golf club once.
Good.
Since last year's April Fool's Open. My biggest worry today is I'm really going to have to try and lock in and concentrate, because it's going to be difficult to not be distracted by EA's gout foot.
That's right.
Right.
Well, just EA, I mean, it's like playing with Happy Gilmore.
Yes, and EA's general, like, demeanor and presence. It's going, you know, I'm going to have to really, like, have blinders on to try and not be distracted by that.
Of course.
EA is incredible to watch play golf. George was just studying his swing the last commercial break.
Yeah, and he puts himself in a terrible position at address. I've never seen so much flex to a left arm at address. The takeaway, there's zero extension. And, there's no wonder why he whiffed his first shot last year to get started on the par three, where he hit driver from 90 yards out. That's okay, though. Don't worry about what club you hit. It's just the main thing is making contact. And for some reason, EA's really cocky. One of these years, he's gonna haul off and win this thing.
His level of irrational confidence is off the charts.
Yes, yes.
Irrational confidence.
This is from last year's broadcast. George, this is you and Matt describing EA.
EA just hit his third shot. It is rolling towards the drink, and it might have hit
it.
It
is. Oh, that's water. It is.
EA
in.
Has
that
splashed
is in
down.
The drink.
Okay,
almost,
well, that's
almost
not bad.
Hit a goose.
Not a bad play.
Part
Look
of
how
strategy.
Pissed that goose is.
He just goosed a goose. It went right between the goose's web feet.
Daddy
went right by him, Norm.
Here comes EA. Look at EA,
guy.
EA looks like a king from 19 something in another realm.
He's
like,
walking like a goose.
It went about God 6 feet past, and now Daddy has a downhiller.
We need EA in a toga at all times. Let's be real.
I mean, EA
look
looks
at
like
the way he walks.
Sort of a, yes. He looks like a king that
he's
just
regal.
Rolled out of a banquet feast from 1382.
His belly is full of spiced meats and ale.
He does need a crown and a nice robe.
Ham,
flowing robe.
Put a turkey garland. Leg in his hand.
Yeah, and a winch.
Well, that is the perfect description. He does walk like a king.
Puts his chest out
just
and kind of swings his arms.
Leaving a feast.
Yeah.
Very King Henry VIII.
Yeah.
Yes.
That, or if a circus bear can play golf, that would be EA. Playing on a golf course.
All right, so that's another featured twosome, Jacob Dedimore and EA Azad, starting on the fifth hole, the par five. And our third featured twosome will be Mark Elfenbein and David Mino.
What?
So I heard Mino talking yesterday on the Sweet Spot, and he believes he's the guy to beat.
He's an athlete. And it's never really translated to success on the golf course, but I could see that. Elf, to me, is a very controversial player, because I swear in the early days of the ticket, we would see Elf at golf tournaments. Like, he would play.
Didn't he play the D&M Open a few times?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But so, then he claims he really hadn't played since then, so, you know, I guess he just hadn't.
Based on what I saw last year, I believe him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you had that same fear last year, and he went out and he wasn't very good. He was perfect for the tournament.
Yes, he was very much an April Fool's player.
But you're right. Of these six, maybe either Elf or Deddy have played the most. How much have you played?
If I've played the most, that's frightening, because last year when I played the Open, that was the first time I had played golf in over a decade. And that one time I played was the first time I'd probably played in over 10 years prior.
How many rounds of golf do you think you've played in your life?
Counting the April Fool's three-hole open last year, if you want to count that as a round, then I've probably played a maximum total of six rounds in my life.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's okay, that's not much.
That's acceptable.
So I think Elf has played more than that.
Yeah. I want to say he has too.
So that is your field of six contesting the April Fool's Open. Matt Birmingham, Ryan Baldwin, David Mino, Mark Elfenbein, Jacob Detamore, and E.A. Azad. Do you have a favorite, George?
Yeah, I think Detty is the favorite. I don't want to put that much pressure on you, but I think you are the favorite to win today. What about you?
I think I like Detty as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, when I heard Mino talking about feeling like he had to win, I think he's putting a lot of pressure on himself.
Yeah, Mino's a good pick, too.
And he could explode wildly this afternoon. So I think I like Detty, too. Again, not to put pressure on you. Tyler brought it home for our show a couple of years ago.
I'm not the athlete Tyler is. No one at the station is, if you ask him.
That's true. That's true. But I think you're good enough to win the April Fool's Open. Shotgun start at 4 o'clock today. We will have the exclusive stroke-by-stroke coverage right here on this station. No other stations carrying this event.
Our broadcast team today, you and Gordo, will be on the green at the 6th hole, the par 3. Donovan will be on the tee box there. I'll be on the 7th hole, the par 4, with the water, the dog leg right. I'll be on the green. Sean is on the tee box covering it. And then on the par 5 5th, the really difficult par 5 that goes over water, Corby and Davey with greenside coverage and Matt McLaren on the tee box. That is a broadcast team right there.
Couple of other things to note. The winds today are forecast to be gusting at 45 miles an hour. So that I know that will wreak havoc with Matt because you're slightly built and it could blow you over.
I'm going to have to be weighed down.
You are going to have to. Yeah, wear a weight vest. Weighted.
We're going to bring tethers.
So it's going to be very, very windy. No rain expected, but the wind could really wreak havoc with the golf shots today.
It's sunshine.
Yeah, we're going to have sunshine today for sure. And if you'd like to be a part of it, come on out there. Prairie Lakes Golf Course in Grand Prairie. It's free to attend. That's rare for a big-time golf event. They don't let you into the Masters for free.
No.
But you do get to see the April Fools Open for free. And the other thing I'm worried about is what David brought up. These three here, three heavy favorites to win today on our morning show crew, you're all going to be kind of sleep deprived. Are you planning at least a nap?
No nap. I'm just going to load up on energy drink and see how that helps me.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll have a Dr. Pepper drip.
Okay.
Baldy, I'd do the hockey player nap. That's what I would do.
Yeah, quick 1 hour.
A little
in
power
and out.
Nap. Yeah. Yeah. You bet.
Hey, best of luck to you three.
Yeah.
And to all six in our field for the April Fool's Open.
You got this.
It is 3:35 here on Sports Radio 96.7, 1310, The Ticket. This is the Hardline 5.0. Here today on this Tuesday and here today on this April 1st, Dave, as we have made it out of that blustery month of March into the blustery month of April.
It's even blusterier. Blusterier.
And we are live out here at Prairie Lakes Golf Course in Grand Prairie, Texas, about 30 minutes away from balls in the air, balls on the ground, depending on how you look at things, here for the fifth annual, sort of, April Fool's Open. A crowd is gathering. We have so many P1s here that are already helping us out by holding our broadcast tent down. Like, I don't know what we'd do without them.
Yeah, we don't have enough employees, so P1s have come to the rescue.
What the hell is going on?
Killer now is setting up a rope and pulley system.
He's trying to connect the tent
to the
van.
Van, right?
So yeah. If the tent blows away, the van will then tip over.
The van will flip.
And will fly onto us like twisters.
Kind of brilliant, though, from Killer, right?
I mean, he's not the killer for nothing.
No, the man knows what he's doing. He has been all over these three holes because the broadcasting perches that we have are quite precarious with these wind gusts.
And it is full stroke-to-stroke coverage from tee box to green.
Yeah.
So you have on the fifth hole, which is the first hole for our competition. We are on the green, you and I.
Yep.
And we have Matt from the Invasion will be on the tee box. Then the short hole, the par three, Donnie will be on the tee box, and we will have Junior and Gordo on the green. And then the seventh hole, the par four that I drove over the green last year.
Greatest shot in the history of the tournament.
On the way to my championship, we will have Sean once again on the tee box, who called my monster shot.
Yep.
And we will have George on the green once again.
Okay. So in the meantime, every single year we hand the intros off to Grant Boone from NBC and the Golf Channel. Grant has been a long, long time P1 and a good friend of the radio station and a good friend of all of ours.
And such a golf professional.
He's the consummate golf professional and also the consummate golf smartass. And I have nothing to do with any of these intros outside of telling him very, very basic things about our players. He's in tune with everyone because he's such a huge P1. And so let us now meet the participants of the fifth annual April Fool's Open with Grant Boone introducing what? Oh, we need to do the
sponsors. Yeah, sorry.
Helpline sponsors are
A1 Locksmith Security and Safes and Milestone Air Conditioning, Heating, Plumbing, Electrical, and more.
Yeah, right. So Grant Boone is helping us set the field for the April Fool's Open.
Yes. Let's meet Ryan Baldy Baldwin.
After completely whelming listeners last year with a performance nearly as forgettable as one of his rehashed morning show tickers, Ryan Baldwin returns to the AFO hoping to finally crack the top 10 in this field of six. Like Dunham and Miller, the legendary co-host with whom he works, Baldwin also went to the University of North Texas, a fact that has completely escaped the musers, who still think he's Kevin Landrum. Though early in his ticket career, Baldwin appears poised to follow in the footsteps of other ticker greats whose names P1s will never forget, if only because they never learned them in the first place. In his AFO debut, the son of real Texas ranchers proved to be all hat and no cattle. But today, when the cows come home and another AFO champion is branded, could Baldy be the heir apparent?
Oh, it's so great. And playing with Ryan Baldwin, teeing off on the seventh hole of the par four, it is our boy, Matt Birmingham.
Pound for pound, the strongest player in this year's field is the walking one iron, Matt Birmingham, who last year became the first competitor in AFO history to shoot his weight. The full-time afternoon board op and keeper of the sound effects is also a part-time drummer who was first introduced to that instrument when a local musician used him as a stick. Nicknamed for a food that he won't eat because it doesn't contain either chicken or nugget, Ham is an uncomfortably passionate Batman fanboy who lives with his mother-in-law. And in no way are those two things related. But now, as he gets the signal that another AFO title hangs in the balance, it's Bat Ham to the rescue, proving that not all heroes wear capes, just the nerdy ones.
Oh my God.
So great. Teeing off on the sixth hole, the par three, the 140-yard par three today, will be the pairing of Mark Elfenbein and David Mino. Let us meet David Mino.
Making his fourth appearance in the April Fool's Open is David Mino, whose meteoric rise to ticket stardom has come to a screeching halt ever since he became co-host of a midday program called The Sweet Spot, a show that lasts almost as long as one of Bob Sturm's interview questions, only with fewer points. The only golfer in the field to have actually played college sports, what's left of Mino's athleticism is as indiscernible as his alma mater, Ottawa University in Kansas, a school originally created for Native Americans. every bit as out of place as a ticket host as he was among his indigenous classmates. If Mino's AFO Trail of Tears finally leads him into the winner's circle today, we will all say, how?
And his playing partner, Mark Elfenbein.
The most unorthodox contestant in this year's field is Mark Elfenbein, a.k.a. Hanukkah Sorenstam. With his mezzo-soprano voice as warm and soothing as a wounded pterodactyl and just dripping with drugstore aftershave, Elfenbein has been piercing ears and stinging nostrils over the DFW airwaves since the ticket's inception. As a successful home seller during the week, Elfenbein knows the three rules of radio shifts are the same as real estate: location, location, location. And for more than 30 years, he has owned the toxic waste dump of the ratings book, Sunday mornings from 7 to 9. But today, when it comes time to close the deal on the course, no one is more likely to create a whiff than the elf.
Oh, Hanukkah Sorenstam.
He's wearing his Zubaz.
The greatest nickname of all time. All right, and teeing off on the fifth, the daunting, daunting par five. These poor cats.
Oh, it's the worst.
Eddie and D.A., let us meet Jacob Detamore.
Back for a second appearance in the April Fool's Open is Jacob Detamore, affectionately known as Deddy to all of his friend, and unaffectionately known by literally every woman in DFW on Tinder. The actual Baldy in this year's field, Detamore parlayed a sparsely littered resume with an astonishing lack of ambition to somehow become the producer of America's greatest morning team, the Musers, who loved working with him so much that they decided to drop the final hour of their show. Like his fellow Longhorn lovers, Jordan Spieth and Scottie Scheffler, never mind, he's nothing like them at all. But when play in this tournament of beginners begins, no one knows how to swipe right like Deddy.
It's so great.
It's so true.
It's so great. And his playing partner, E.A. Azad.
The sleeper in this year's field is undoubtedly the man with multiple Z's in his last name, E.A. Azad. Not because he could be a surprise winner so much as the strong likelihood that the noted narcoleptic might, as he so often does at work, actually nod off on the course. Hailing from the golf mecca of Afghanistan, EA's two previous appearances in the AFO have made him the Ben Crenshaw of the Middle East. Though his landlord slash roommate slash mother remains dismayed that her single son from the land of arranged marriages can't even set up his own profile on Muzzmatch.com. But all that could change today if he becomes a grand Islam champion at the AFO. So whatever you do, don't sleep on EA, unless you're an eligible Afghani Muslim woman, in which case his mother would like a word.
So,
oh my God.
So,
Ben Crenshaw.
So great. Thank you so much. There he is. There's EA wearing his familiar Tony Romo 9.
Because it's brought him so much luck in the past.
Yes, his foot looks good. He's wearing proper shoes today.
Oh, wow.
Yep.
Are those high tops so your ankle doesn't break?
I mean, he looks good.
Pants.
He's wearing pants.
Again, shout out to Grant Boone. Those are absolutely perfect, my friend. Well
good
done.
Good God.
Okay, let's take a break. Let's get our combatants out to the proper holes, and let's start this sumbitch. The April Fool's Open next. We are live from Prairie Lakes Golf Course in the heart of Grand Prairie, Texas, hard by Joe Pool Lake, where the April Fool's Open broadcast is underway. Dave Lane and myself will be your gracious host right here behind the par 5 green where so many wonderful, infamous moments have taken place throughout the history of this great tournament. Davey, I don't know how you're feeling about today, but I can tell you with the wind, with the sun, with the galleries that have already gathered around each and every hole, I feel that we are in for a special day.
Yeah, it does feel special. Cloudy, but really, really sunny. The wind is going to definitely be a factor. It would be intimidating if I were in the field today, because hitting in front of a gallery is intimidating enough.
Right, right.
But then when you have the factor of 30-mile-an-hour wind gusts, that's an extra bit of concern that these venerable golfers have to contend with.
Yes, indeed, indeed. So at Prairie Lakes, we are on the front nine using holes 5, 6, and 7. Number 5, a par 5, 530 yards, a small dogleg left, and over water on the finishing shot, which is gives everybody troubles. Let's remember, fellow broadcasters, that I believe last year we said after your third ball in the water, you get to bring it over the water.
Is that the rule? I forget.
Yes. After three, yes.
Yes, after three, you get to bring it over the water, and that is the case on the par 4 seventh as well.
It's weird. The PGA Tour adopted that rule this year, too.
Yes, yes, the PGA Tour, indeed, will go to that this year. Is there anybody on tour that hits three in a row in the same water hazard, though?
No, it hasn't come into play yet, but it could.
Yeah, it could. That is George Dunham, who will be behind the par 4 sixth hole. I'm sorry, the par 4 seventh hole green. George, you are on the green and up on the tee box. Let's meet Sean Bass.
Corby, we are here on the tee box of the seventh hole, a par 4. Of course, famously, Davey striped one last year, which pretty much was the key to his victory.
Yeah.
And we have Ryan Baldwin, who I believe his brother is the caddy, because he's a ginger-bearded, same build as Baldy, so I'm assuming that they're related.
Yeah,
they're then, related. Of course,
it's a good guess.
Then, of course, we have the DP boys. We have Matt Birmingham,
DJ Dr. Ringenberg. Pepper, not...
I was about to say.
Yeah.
That's quite a
not,
charge.
Not the other...
It's quite a title.
If there's not an Eiffel Tower going on the seventh tee right
and if
now.
If they're both the same thing, man, they are talented.
And my note said that's their favorite pastime, so...
That other voice you hear is Donovan Lewis, who is at the tee box on the par 3 sixth hole.
Yes.
Donovan, how are we?
Great. Corby, Davey, I am here at the par 3, 140 yards from the white tees, and I have Mark Elfenbein and David Mino.
Ready to go.
Yeah, they have selected their clubs of choice, if you guys want to know that inside information already.
Give me 1 second to introduce Junior
Please.
Miller, who is up by the green on the par 3, just ahead of where where Donovan Lewis is. Junior, do you hear me?
Hi, Corby. Hi, Davey. Back in Master Control. This is going to be a difficult hole today because this 40-mile-an-hour wind is gusting from left to right. So you put it in the middle of the green, it could still end up 30 or 40 yards to the right. And it's the shortest hole on the course, but it may play as the most difficult.
That was funny, Junior. You said if they put it in the middle of the green. Oh, that's awesome.
And so that is the shortest hole. The longest hole is the par 5, 530 yards, fifth hole, our first hole on our April Fool's Open course. Bad. And we have Matt McLaren on the tee. Hi, Matt.
Hello, friends. Here we are. I'm here teeing off.
Do you have EA and Deddy both?
You're not teeing playing. Off.
You have EA and Deddy both in place.
Yes, I do. EA is ready to go. He is using a TaylorMade R11.
Okay, we stepped up his game from last year. Well, let's take it over to the par 3, Donovan, and let's have Mark Elfenbein and David Mino send off the first balls of the April Fool's Open on the par 3.
Okay, let's do it. David Mino, you're up. With his caddy, David Hulse, David Mino has chosen a 7-iron to tee up. He's going to see if he can get the ball in the air on the green. And I don't know if the strategy is to keep it low because the wind is gusting pretty hard right now left to right. His caddy is teeing the ball up for him, properly teeing it up low so David Mino can get a proper strike on it. Now, when I watch him do his practice swings, his backswing looks okay, but he's so violent coming back up.
Yes,
it's
he is.
Really difficult to get it in the air. He's addressing the ball right now. He's looking at his target. it. It's in the air. It's going. The wind is taking it, but he got it.
Boy.
Up toward the hill. It looks like it's going to roll back down, but he should be in a good position.
Let me tell you something. That was a full-on golf shot that stayed in the air for a good 5 seconds or so. That was legit, Mino.
And especially with the wind as it carried a bit to the right. But, yo, you're right. It was a legitimate golf shot. Now,
guys, I can, by the way, report that is pin high. He is just way right. He's over the cart path. He's got a very dangerous and deadly chip shot down. To the green, and he short-sighted himself.
Oh, no.
Now, here's Mark Effenbach.
Do you think he knows what short-sighted means?
Has a 3-iron that he's using.
3-iron?
Yes.
From 140 yards? Mark is left-handed, by the way.
It is. Screaming to the left. I can't tell if it stayed in. I know there's a fence right there. Maybe it hit the fence.
Is that OB?
I think it bounced back, so it's going to be in play.
Okay.
He is probably about 30, 35 yards from maybe trying to give it a good chip up on the green.
What a terrible swing he has. Let's take it back to the tee box on number 5. Matt McLaren, you have EA back there ready to go, correct?
Yeah, I've got Deddy is at the tee right now.
All right.
All right, so Deddy, here we go. He's approaching. He's going to take a practice swing. My God, that's a horrible swing. All right.
And by the way, Deddy's caddy is his broadcast partner, Zach Barnett. They're all decked out in Texas gear.
Right, he's addressing the ball.
Head to toe.
All right, Deddy is off. And that ball is about 200 yards dead right in the air, and it may go into the hazard on the other. It did. He splashed down.
About, is he on the water hazard on the other hole?
Yeah, he hit it over the fairway on 4 into the water hazard in between, but I believe it's 3 and 4.
Thank you.
So,
where's the drop zone for that?
We don't know. It's a lateral hazard, George. Can you teach them about lateral hazards real quick?
No. We don't have enough time.
So here's EA.
EA does look slimmer than last year.
He's lost 60 pounds.
The EA shot is... Oh, it's a carpet burner. Okay, not bad.
Is it straight?
I'd say it went straight, and he did not get to the ladies' tees, so I'm going to guess that's about a 30-yard shot all the way through the grass.
Okay. All right.
All right, we will check back in with you for those.
Yeah.
We'll check back in for EA's second shot in a minute, but we're going to go up to the 7th hole, the par 4 with Sean.
Thank you, Davey. We are here at the par 4 7th, better known as Davey's Lane after your magnificent shot last year, which led to your title. Ryan Baldwin is going to be teeing off here. He is wearing shorts, charcoal shorts. He has a surprise Dallas Stars polo, and he is hitting a TaylorMade Rocket Balls driver. And speaking of Rocket Balls, that's a big reason his wife is expecting later this month.
Oh,
okay.
Nice.
Not bad.
So an open stance. Draws it back. Oh, and he stripes it right down the middle. There must be something about this hole.
Oh, my God.
As he bounces it towards the green.
He flew it. I mean, it went in the water. But
oh,
like,
no.
That's okay.
That's a great shot to get it to the water in that hole.
He ripped it.
Did you hear the sound that made?
That was a legitimate golf shot.
And now we have Matt Birmingham, who's approaching, one of the Dr. Pepper duo out here.
Do you think
here.
Matt Birmingham's going to sound just like that?
Of course, Ham has jeans. He's wearing white sneakers, I believe, and a maroon Dr. Pepper top and cap. He also has a driver. Teed way up. This one is left, but it's going cart path, and I believe it's going to curve back towards the fairway. So all in all, that could have been much worse for Matt Birmingham.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
He had the one-handed swing finish. I did see that. He wasn't happy with the follow-through, George, but when will he ever be happy
with
the follow-through?
But he gave you a victorious curtsy, so he's feeling good about things.
That's not bad. Now, the battle here today on the par four, your second shot over the water. Now, Baldy has to take a drop. The pin is in such a sucker position. It's protected by the water. It's only 9 steps on and 6 steps from the right. You're best off aiming at the duck that's over on the left side.
Oh,
and
yes.
And then putting over.
I believe that's a heron or a crane.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that is some sort of crane. But who will dare cross the water today to take it at the stick? And, man, this wind is howling.
It really is, George.
It's got to be over 30 miles an hour.
Let's throw it up to the green on the par 3 with Craig Miller.
So both Mark Elfenbein and David Mino have hit their pitch shots. Mino was up on the cart path just beyond it. Pretty nice little shot down to the fringe of the green, so he's still off the green. He's got about maybe 30 feet or so to the cup, and Elf is real close to him. Elf pitched it all the way across the green. So they're each sizing up their third shot, of course, David Mino. caddied by David Hulse, who finished 8th in the Rookie of the Year voting in 1993 in the American League and has 69 career stolen bases.
Nice.
And
nice.
A junior for his attire today, instead of the Texas Rangers jersey of his own jersey, he has Mino written across the front.
Oh, what a tribute. Now, and they've been caddy and player together now every single year of this April Fool's Open with very limited success. A lot of it, Mino says, is attributed to the fact that David Hulse is smashed by the time he gets out to the golf course every single time.
All right, here's Elf. He is over his third shot with a putter. It's a Texas wedge from this grass swale, and he sends it a little too hard towards the cup. It's going to run by only by about 40 feet.
40 feet?
So he's got 40. It rolled off the other side of the green, so and it keeps rolling now. He's in another little grass swale. He's
got about 50 feet right hole.
Coming back for his bunker.
But that was par, though. So at least it touched the green on his third shot.
Yes.
Boy, it looks like we may have controversy already here on the par fours. Matt Birmingham is looking for his golf ball and cannot find it. Now,
yeah, off the tee, I never saw it rolling over there. I'm a ways away.
Oh,
but
no, I saw it. It's,
got it now.
It's even with our broadcast tent. But 100 yards that
isn't
way.
Isn't that the caddy's job?
It is the caddy's job to know where the actual ball goes, and so that's DJ, though. And DJ, just when Ham found his ball, had to run about 30 yards to give Ham a club, and that's the most I've seen DJ run in 6 years, right there.
By the way, David Mino just ran his par putt past by about 15 feet, so he's got 15 coming back for his bogey. It was actually a pretty nice touch on that putt. Meanwhile, Elf is standing over a 50-foot.
I would say that a double bogey on every hole is really good.
Yes, it will get you
absolutely.
Whacked. That's what I wanted to tell one of the players today. Just try to get on. If it's a par three, get on in two, three putt. Par four, get on in three putt. And that's a course record.
That's easier said than done, though, Joe.
Matt Birmingham, far left off the tee, lined up for a second shot. He needed to punch out about 30 yards to set up a nice third shot to the green. He topped it about 6 feet. He is now over his third shot.
This is where he struggles, approach shots.
Yes, it is. It's really the downfall of his game. Oh, he hit it fairly solid.
Took a good whack at that.
It's rolling toward the water. Is it going to stop before it gets there? It is just to the right of the water. A wonderful shot, all things.
Now he's going to have to stare that water in the face and chip over it to get to the flag.
Yeah.
Let's go swing back to Matt McLaren and get an update on the long par five.
Yeah, it's not going well, as you might imagine, out here on 5. I've got EA has had two swings where he hit about a foot behind the ball and did not hit the ball. And he is now also walking towards the fourth fairway where his last shot went. And he is hitting his sixth shot. We're about a third of the way up the fairway.
Oh, no.
Deddy, I have no idea how many Deddy's hit. I believe he's on 5, and he is way up there. But Deddy has played this entire hole in the fourth fairway.
On the other fairway.
Yeah.
I'm in danger then.
So, yeah, neither one of them is on the correct hole right now.
All right, Craig, what's going on up on the green on the par 3?
All right, Mark Helfenbein for the putt from 15 feet away. That was his fifth stroke, and he left it about 5 feet short. So he has that for a 6, triple bogey.
They finally pulled
the flag. Elfenbein is marking his golf ball, by the way, with a bagel.
A whole bagel?
A whole bagel.
Is there a schmear?
It is not in the line for...
Is it everything?
It is everything.
Does he have to have two club lengths to get it out of the way of Mino's putt?
Pretty much. Yeah, Mino is looking at about, I would say, 15 feet as well, and this is for bogey. And
okay.
One of the pre-tournament favorites, if he were to sink this, and I'm telling you, this gallery is ready to explode. He's over the putt. Golf slacks flapping in the breeze, hugging his buttocks. On its way to its cup. Oh, he just missed it. He burned the right edge, but he blew it by about 5 feet, so he's got that coming back for a 5.
Oh, no. All right, let's take a break. Let's everybody hold your shots. I just saw Ryan Baldwin actually hit it over the water on the par 4.
He did, yeah. He's in the water with one, two out, three over the green. And when we come back, we'll wait for Ham to try to hit over the water.
Perfect.
Ham is about to swing right now.
He's going. Yeah, he's okay, going. Here he goes. He's over it. A big hunch. He's got about 60 yards in front of him. Ball is on the way, I do believe. The herring is in the air. No, he didn't. That was a practice swing.
Yeah. Oh, it looked like he missed it.
Okay.
Oh, he whiffed?
No, I don't know. I don't think so. Okay.
Okay, that was a swing.
Okay, I think he's whiffed it twice.
Yeah.
Oh, no. This is his third attempt. And this is right at our broadcast location. It is across the water, but wild and long and right, and Matt Birmingham in big trouble here at the par four.
All right, let's come back. We'll take a break. We'll finish out all three of our combatants' first hole right here at the April Fool's Open for Prairie Lakes Golf Course next. Live from Prairie Lakes Golf Course here in Grand Prairie, it's the April Fool's Open, the fifth annual edition. Action abound here. Let's take you up to the par 3-6 where Craig Miller's on the call, David Mino and Mark Elfenbein finishing out their holes.
Yes, and I'm now joined by a veteran of this competition, Gordon Keith, who played in this 2 years ago, I believe. So you know what it's like
these golfers
are going through.
I mean, the pressure, the emotions that you're going through.
Thank you.
They almost can't be described by human words.
All right, I have a correction. Mark Elfenbein actually had two whiffs out of sight on that little pitch shot after his tee shot went left. So he is currently lying seven.
Oh, no.
And David Mino is lying four. And they each have about 5 feet. And I believe Mino is away. So he's getting consultation from David Hulse. This is a little downhill, and it looks like it'll break a little left to right. This is a tough putt. Gordo, you've been out there.
It sure is, and the emotions and fear that he's feeling right now. You can see it in his shake legs. That may be the wind, though.
All right, he's addressing the ball. Here's his five-footer for a five. He missed it right, and he pushed it way past.
Oh, no.
So he went from a five-footer to now a ten-footer.
Was he distracted by the bagel?
Maybe. That's a tough break for one of the pre-tournament favorites, and he is still away, and David Hulse is giving him an earful.
Oh, David Hulse is pissed.
Boy, and by the way, George, now that you know that you keep saying every year that I don't know why he's in this. He plays golf. He played 60 years ago in the Dunham and Miller Open.
Twice, George.
He's not good.
I just thought my perception of him in the early days of the ticket was he like played three times a week or something.
Hey, guys. You're right. Misremembering.
Here's Mino, his comeback attempt. This is for a six, and he's going to leave that 10-footer about 3 feet short.
God, Mino!
So he has a 3-footer left for a seven, and now Elf will be away. He's got to pick up the bagel. Oh, no. Mino's going to clean this up.
He should.
Oh, yes, he is.
He is going to clean this up.
He looks confident now.
And
Greg.
He missed it. He missed it left.
God.
And now he tapped it in for a nine, I believe.
Oh, my God. How many putts was that?
Not bad.
Let's see. It was one, two, three, four, five, six. Six putts.
Six putts. Oh, my God. All right. Stay with Elf.
So that's an eight, I believe.
Is that an eight
or nine?
I believe it's an eight. Okay. I'll confirm with his caddy.
Stay with Elf. Count it up. Let's go back over to George. George, you want to take the action here on the par five?
Yes, we have EA over the ball.
Oh, no.
He is hitting his 11th shot. He's going to try to get it through the trees and over the water. We're in the Tony Romo jersey. Yeah, EA, go. It's you. Yeah, go.
He basically has to make a field goal to get it on the green.
Dude, this is impossible.
He just pointed towards the green. That's his target.
They called a shot.
Strange waggle, weird takeaway, ball on the way to the green. Maybe.
Where'd it go?
He just pointed like he hit a home run.
Where did it go? In the water? The guy's pointing in the water.
Okay. EA's acting like he just hit the greatest shot since Nicklaus One Iron at the 72 U.S. Open. Okay, here's Deddy over it. Similar shot. Over the water, through the trees. He is hitting his eighth shot on this hole.
Hoping for
a miracle.
Is he behind EA? I can't see him.
He's to the right of EA. Your left. And a whiff. And that is a whiff.
Oh, no.
That's a whiff. He dumped it in the water. And the fist pump after he dumped it in the water.
What?
Man, Zach Barnett getting another golf ball out of the bag and a lot of trouble here on the par five.
Can they not move it to the drop zone in the center of the green at this point?
No.
Or center of the fairway?
Three in the water.
All right.
Let's go back to Craig.
So Mark Elfenbein made his five-footer.
Wow.
Okay. And he gave it a little Tiger fist pump afterwards. So both Elf and Mino each recorded eights on this par three. Gordo, you've been out there as a participant before. What's it like?
I have, Craig. Well, you're absolutely filled with emotion when you're out there. The fear, the panic that you experience as a human is unparalleled.
Let's go back to the par four green with George.
Got to hit.
Uh-oh, we lost George.
George?
Uh-oh. What?
Okay. Is he doing a bit?
Sorry.
It's okay.
I had to instruct these guys what to do. Here's EA trying to clear it for a second time.
This would be EA's 14th shot.
Yes.
Over the water.
Wow. He's really quick with the hands. The hands go right up to his right shoulder, and there it is, into the water.
In the water again.
Hey, they went like 6 feet.
Okay, one more attempt over the water, EA. And here's Daddy trying to get over the water now.
Stop it, Gordon.
Fake Daddy laugh. And he'll keep doing it because he's getting laughter now. And, oh, gosh, another one in the water for Daddy. So you have one more attempt. Here's EA's third attempt. And after this, let's go somewhere else.
This to the green.
Hard to watch. And here we go. Here's EA one more time.
EA
can
he
get over a third time?
For a 16.
In the Romo jersey.
And oh, now,
right,
my God.
Into the water. So here we go back to him, who is hitting his eighth shot here on the par four. Remember, he ran into some whiff trouble just a moment ago.
Looks like he's putting about 10 yards off the green.
He is. He's using the Texas wedge, and it will barely make the...
He got it to the fringe.
Sprinkler head, and he didn't get it to the green. Okay, now here's Baldy. Interesting approach here. He's got the three wood out, and he's going to give it a little wrap from behind the green, and he is hitting his fourth shot. And this is a chip that is rolling towards the green, and he got it to the fringe, so not bad.
That was a three wood?
Yeah, I think so.
What? It went like 4 feet.
Okay, now he's got his putter, Baldy, and he's going to try to putt it. He's hitting his fifth shot. He was in great position just a second ago.
Boy, the greens, they're giving these guys fits.
Yeah, they look pretty fast. Looks like they've really shaved him down for the APO.
They also don't have much touch.
No,
oh,
that's true.
That's true.
Okay, so Baldy just putted it on the green. He still has about 15 feet. Here's Ham from just off the green, the Texas wedge from the fringe. His ninth shot is about halfway there.
God, Ham! He
needed to give that about two more tendies.
It's unbelievable.
So much for the greens being fast. These guys just... having a tough time with the speed. Okay, here's Ham going right at it. This is 410 here on the par four. Dr. Pepper shirt on, Dr. Pepper hat. Ball on the way, pretty good distance. Pin high and just about 2 feet right.
That looked like a real putt.
So if he can knock that in, that's an 11. Here's Baldy now. So he went 5-6. This is 4-7, which wouldn't be bad. I don't think there's any way he can make it, though. I mean, this is a 15-footer downhill on the way, and that's really steaming, and that may not stay on the green. It barely does.
God.
He's about 8 feet behind.
I've never seen people collapse like this on the green.
It's incredible. All right.
So he's off the green.
No, he's still on. He's still on. So 5, 6, 7. This is 4 and 8.
And he was putting for par.
Yeah.
With a 3-wood.
This is 4 and 8 for Ryan Baldwin. On the way and in!
Oh!
And in for an 8. Not bad. A quad. And this is the tournament where a quad is not bad.
No. All right, so let's let Ham clean up here. You say he's got 2 feet?
Yeah, he's 2 feet. The pin is in, and the putt is in.
All right.
Is that an 11? Okay, that's an 11 for him.
Okay, let's come back here to the par five as Deddy and EA are both now. They were hit three in the water, so now they are about 15 yards short of the green. Deddy, I believe now, is hitting his 14th shot. The chip is up. Oh, a
got some air.
Chip. Oh!
Wow.
Jacob Detamore has stuck his chip to about 12 feet left of the pin. A miraculous shot where he lies 15. Now EA in a similar spot, same drop area. He waddles over. Oh, no, he's underwater.
Oh, he's calling his shot once again.
He is.
Does he look like a king today?
He does. Yeah, I heard y'all talking about that. He holds the club so strangely.
I think his top hand is on the bottom.
He topped it.
Is that going to go back in the water?
Oh, no. His caddy, Creighton, is running. Did it go in the water?
Oh, no.
Oh, he's safe. He's giving him the safe sign. He's up. Now, EA may have to have one foot in the water to hit this.
Is that really safe?
Does that make gout worse?
Does pond water affect gout?
Can he swim?
We don't know.
There's no way.
We don't know.
He may float.
He's now having to hit it backwards between his legs, it looks like. What is going on? What is he doing? EA.
He is right on the water line.
For an 18.
He swung way too hard.
No, it looked like he was killing snakes, as my grandpa would say. Oh! What kind of swing is that?
What's he sitting at now?
Man, he took such a mighty cut at it. It was a ginger shot.
I know. Okay, so now
he
hit lies
5 feet.
He lies 20 in front of the green, about 10 yards.
20. Well, that's improvement. He
just took a full swing on a 10-yard chip
shot.
That's
across the cart path into the rough.
He hit it off the hosel. Somehow, it went directly to his left. It did not even go forward at all.
He looks so confused.
And now he's limping. Oh, the gout is acting up.
And thoughts of last year's 29 on this hole are coming back.
Let's take you up to the tee box and Sean Bass real quick.
Yes, Corby, we are here on the tee box of the par 4 7th. David Mino and Mark Elfenbein both get snowmen on the par 3 6th. They are about to tee off. David Hulse, the caddy for David Mino, has a Texas Rangers golf bag with a speaker in it that's currently blaring Kendrick Lamar's Not Like Us. So Mino has the tee box right now wearing his Jordans, and he is zigging where others are zagging as he is about to tee up here. He is going to hit a 7-iron. Instead of a driver, so maybe some issues on the par 3. I don't know. This is advice from the incredible Hulse. So Mino is now approaching the ball with his 7-iron. And why are we stopping? Let's hit. Let's play. We're not in break. Okay, stand by. We're going to break. Thank you, Joe.
No, we're not. Go.
Trust me. We're playing. Go.
God Almighty, somebody go.
Yes. Mino is
I think we're supposed
approaching the ball with his 7-iron. Shirt untucked. And he draws back quite slowly. And a worm burner down the left side, hitting the cart path. It might bounce back towards the fairway.
I think I should change my underwear.
Probably going to have to punch out.
The gallery is pointing at it. Let's go back to the par 5 EA before we take a break. EA!
Did you find it?
He found it. He now has to hit over the cart path, over a mound.
Extremely uphill.
It is, but I'm afraid of the full swing EA here.
Creighton, you better back up.
And he's topped it. It's gone right. Right back where he was two shots ago.
Mark Elfenbein teeing off on the par 4, and he shanks it, and it's going towards the warehouses near the out-of-bounds area.
Those are card barns.
All right. Let's take a break.
Thank you for doing that.
We'll come right back as the April Fool's Open continues here on The Ticket. All right, we're back at the April Fool's Open on the number 6 green, or 5 green, I'm sorry, where EA Azad is aiming for a 23, which...
If he holds this.
If he holds this, he's in front of the green. Hit it twice. He TC-chinned a putt. How is that humanly possible? He putted the ball.
He is not human.
It went up in the air. He struck it again with his putter. Do we count that as two or one?
That was it. That was his
wedge.
That's
one now. They changed the rule.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
That is one. So now EA is about 15 feet below the hole, and he's getting advice from his caddy, Creighton. who appears
would
to have
like
a...
Would you like to hear that conversation?
I would. They're reading the putt. Creighton's wearing an oversized bucket hat. Their combined weight appears to be about 580 pounds. EA over the ball for a 24, 15 feet below the cup. At address.
I don't know what just happened.
There it is. The putt is toward the hole, and it's not that bad. It's short.
He left it short.
By about a foot and a half, though. It's a very good putt.
Clean. That's not good.
Let's head to the tee box on five.
EA, make that. Make that. No, just make it. God bless it. Play by the rules. He's like, he's out. Daddy's out.
Can you imagine Jim Nance yelling there?
All right, EA for a 25, and he missed it.
A 26 for
26
EA.
Indeed. Matt, okay. Birmingham, let's go back to the tee box for the tee shots of, I'm sorry, what did I say? Yeah, Matt McLaren for Matt Birmingham.
Yes, we have you. We've got Baldy and Ham on the tee box, and Baldy's going to go first since he won the last hole. He has the honors. He's using a very nice driver. I took a practice swing with it earlier. All right, here we go.
Meanwhile, Daddy has just rocketed his putt.
And that ball is in the air to the right, and he... Baldy should be safe on the right side of the number four fairway, in the rough of the number four fairway. And then here's Ham.
A very popular spot over there, apparently. Daddy now for an 18. He has pulled it back to the left about 4.5 feet. He had 15 feet.
Ham this shot, and the ball went... Oh, it almost hit him in the face. Oh, God.
What?
Oh. I've never seen that before. He got under the ball, and it went straight up and went, like, back over his head.
The hell?
That was awesome. All right.
I don't know.
He leaves it 2 inches short.
Deddy is short. Deddy four-putted from 12 feet.
Oh, no. What is that now for Deddy?
Yeah, hit it again. Yeah.
That should be a 20 and a 28. All right. 19. Okay. All right, let's go back over to par 4 where David Mino has hit his tee shot just to the left of the cart path. He's got about, I would say, about 130 yards or so to the green. Again, has to go over the water. A very, very daunting shot for David, who quadded his par 3. Not a bad quad either. His swing looks a little improved from last year. There he is, through the ball. He is looking dead left. Do we see it? Anyone?
No.
He was looking really, really far left, asking it to come back.
He avoided the water.
Yeah, the patrons.
Funny.
By the way, nice gallery. Well done, people. Well done.
Yeah, a lot of P1s out here.
Okay, Mark Elfenbein now. He is... Also to the left, George.
Yeah, and I look at a shot here from the vantage point of the pin back, and he has no shot. He's got two trees. He's got to carry the water if he chooses. The shot would be just to run it up left of the green. Let's see what he does here. Seems to be having a great time as he's got it rolling on the ground, bouncing into the fairway.
Oh, he punched it right into the water.
Could be too hard. It's in the water.
Boy,
in the water for Elf.
A very smart play, though.
Yeah, it was.
He just gave it too much.
Just about 20 feet too far right.
Donovan, let's take you over to the par 3 with EA and Denny now.
Finally. I didn't even know this thing was still going on. I went home and came back, and I still... This is the first time I've seen some action in a long time. Okay, Daddy is first up. On the tee, looks like he has some sort of hybrid. And why is there a bottle right in front of him?
By the way, it's a 140-yard shot. He has a hybrid.
Oh, okay. Well, Daddy's addressing the ball right now. Gets a little waggle.
Could be a whiff.
Another waggle. Oh, and it goes about 40 feet.
Oh,
40 feet, he topped it, but it's in the middle of the fairway, so it's easy to find. Daddy, your ball is right there. All right, now it's EA. Creighton is teeing the ball up for him.
Oh,
EA
he's
is
asking
waving
for the crowd
to the gallery. Yep. He has looks like a 3-wood, and he's pointing, calling a shot like he does every single time, and it never works. So he's addressing the ball.
Currently after one hole.
Creighton, you may need to back up, dude.
EA is 23 over.
right. He's addressing the ball. He hits it, and it...
Oh, it goes straight.
Oh, wow.
That's not bad. It went in the air about 100 yards.
It did, but he kicked up so much dirt.
He points back at me.
I need to go wash my car.
All right, the reason we didn't see Mino's shot on the par four, it went so far left. He is on another hole, and he's about 80 yards behind the green, but he lays two, so he could actually hit up there in three shots. It wouldn't be bad.
I don't even see him. He's so far away.
Yeah, he's way back there, and I think he's so far back, I really think he's out. I think he needs to hit before Elf.
Oh, yeah, he does for sure. He's way over there.
You're up next. You're out.
Okay, we have second shot action from Daddy on the par three because he's right in my view because he's only about 20 yards in front of the tee box. He's getting some instruction from his caddy to see exactly where he needs to go. He's aimed a little right, although the wind is going from left to right. So maybe that is a strategy that they're employing. I don't know.
There's no strategy.
He's waggling. Takes it back, and it goes another probably 25, 30 yards. It's still getting a little roll in it, though.
I mean...
So he's about maybe 45 yards away from the fringe of the green on his third shot for par.
Hey, both of those shots were straight.
They were.
But
just straight in front of him.
Yeah, exactly. Straight.
David Mino's approach to the green hits a tree and glances onto the putting surface.
What?
He's on in three.
What?
David Hulse gives a fist pump, and now Mino is dancing.
What a
Mino
miraculous
is dancing, and his
shot.
Ball is on the green.
That shot of the tournament?
Yeah, maybe. Puts him in position. Two putts here for a bogey.
Well, we saw what happened on the green for the par three. Okay.
Oh, no. Mark Elfenbein has decided to putt around the water.
Smart play. Mm. He's in the fringe, just beyond the fringe.
He came within about 3 feet of the edge of that pond.
Daddy just hit his third shot about 20 yards ahead, so he's still
what
about...
What is he doing?
He's about 25, 30 yards away from the front of the green.
All right, let's go over to Matt Birmingham.
Matt McLaren.
It's got Matt Birmingham.
It's fine. Yeah, so we are making our way down the fourth fairway. Baldy actually did all right. I mean, he's looking good. He's like three shots in, and he's about at least two-thirds down towards the water. Ham is having an interesting experience. He hit his third shot behind a tree, somehow swung. It went straight right. He went and got it, hit it. It went straight left back to the spot he hit from behind the tree.
What's up, man?
So I've never seen anything like that in my life. That was incredible. And so now Ham finally, I think this is his seventh shot. So here we go for Ham.
It was about 5 yards in front of him. Wow. He is shooting five, still trying to get on the fringe, on the green, on the par three.
God, Craig Gordon, can you see him now?
Yes. Okay, he got some air on this, and that's not bad at all.
Oh, there you go, Ham.
It's going to roll off the back of the green.
It rolled off the back of the green, but it looked pretty good.
You know, he's such a big college football fan. I think his theory on this hole was 3 yards in a cloud of dust, literally.
Ooh, Mark Elfenbein.
George, that looked like a great play from Elf.
Yes, he's tied for the lead at five over par going into this hole, and he was two in the water, three out, four. So that's his fifth shot. He's putting for a double bogey. But now Mino is over it, again tied for the lead at five over par, and this is four par.
Now remember, he six-putted the last hole.
Yes, he's coming off a six-putt, so let's see what he does here. David Hulse has read it for him, and Hulse runs to tend the flag because that is in play here. He's on the putting surface. This is about a 35-footer above the hole. It's going to break to his right. And the wind will blow it that way, too.
Stop farting.
That's not me. That's stupid Gordon. Okay. Mino's over it now. Looks like he feels confident. There's the putt on the way. And that is, again, halfway there. What is going on with the putts in
this
tournament?
Up to the par three.
Guys, EA on his second shot after that relatively nice tee shot just crushed one over the green. And it went out of bounds through the fence here.
Oh, no.
Dude, EA takes a full swing from everywhere on the course.
He doesn't understand.
We're looking for the ball right now, but I'm 99% sure it went through that fence and into the woods.
Boy, his center of gravity.
I think it's in DeSoto.
It looks so odd. Him walk. There are 9-month pregnant women who walk better than that.
He does have gout, remember.
That is true.
All right, McLaren, let's take a peek at what's going on there on the par five.
All right.
Oh, nice punch out. Ham from between the trees. And he put it right in the middle of the fairway here. You guys might be able to see him.
Yeah, we can see him rolling up. That's a really nice approach.
Okay, and here comes Baldy. Baldy's been playing the number four fairway. And he is in between four and five now. And, man, this wind is in their face. This is tough.
Mino's putting
Mino
out,
for bogey. Oh, he rolled it past about 4 feet. And
oh, no.
That's going to be a really difficult putt coming back. And
yeah, he'll have to take a drop from down there.
He also has the view of a bagel that has just marked a ball for Elfenbein, who will try to knock in a seven here, I do believe.
That is a sesame bagel. I can confirm this.
Okay.
Man, Mino, if he blows this tournament because of a six putt and a five putt, he's never going to be able to
really
see.
Really nice punch outs from both these guys.
Yeah, I see that. Now I see Baldy right there.
Yeah, so Baldy punched out from the trees as well, and he and Ham are right in the middle of the fairway with clear shots for the green.
Elf missed his putt for seven.
Man, all they need, this is a nice 7-iron, put it about 5 feet from the pin.
Yeah, we need to, I believe Ham is ready to address his approach shot. He is much further away from the water. I don't know if he can carry the water from there.
No, he can't.
He's about 150 out. Easily he can.
Guys,
there he goes.
Just
don't get in the
water. Go ahead.
Oh, whoa, Kelly.
All right, Ham's in the water, correct?
So EA went into the woods. He dropped out, so he was lying three. His fourth shot, now using a yellow glow golf ball, went over the green on the other side. So he's down in that little grass bunker. He's not in terrible shape, but this is a very tough pin placement on this hole. So Deddy is off the green looking at a chip shot uphill. He's lying five, and EA is over in that grass bunker opposite Deddy lying four.
Okay, George. Mino missed his double bogey putt. Now this is for triple. He's about 4 feet away. Oh. Ball on the way to the cup, and it's short.
Oh, no.
It is short by an inch.
Dude.
That's an eight, back-to-back eights for Mino. He was on the green in three. A six putt on his first hole, a five putt here. And he goes to nine over par. That still may be good enough for the lead, but disappointment for Mino Mino.
And what do we have for Elf there?
Elf is lining up what would be an eight, I do believe, as well.
So many putts.
Four, five, six, seven. Yeah, this is four and eight. Crazy looking pants for Elf.
Zubaz.
3 foot. Yes, it's in. Not bad. That's maybe the longest putt we've seen made today. Some 3 feet away.
Ryan Baldwin is hitting right now over the water. Now, McLaren, do you know what shot this is for him? Because this could be huge.
This is his fourth shot. Wow. This
fourth?
Is his fourth shot, yeah.
Oh, yeah. My God. Well, yeah, tell him to hit.
If he gets on the green, he'll be putting for par.
Wow. All right, he's over the ball. We are staring at about a 115-yard shot dead over a lake. Does he have it in him right now? Like this could be the tournament if he can just get it over. And he shanks it.
No.
It goes dead right. It almost hit him.
Hit Ham.
Did it go in the water?
Yeah. He's trying to hit Ham.
Ham had to skip over it, and it went into the water.
Craig Miller, back to the par three.
We're watching Jacob Dedamore. Deddy had about 20 feet uphill, a left-to-right putt, and he aimed way right, so it went way right. And he's now got 10 feet or so. Gordon, here's EA. He's also got about 20 feet.
He does, Greg, and I can tell you right now, the abject fear that he is feeling right now.
He left it way short.
Yeah.
He didn't get it over the crown on the green, so he's also looking at 8 or 10 feet here.
And we did confirm he went out of bounds 12. Over the green?
Yes.
Okay.
All right. So he's hit, I think this is his sixth shot here, and same for Deddy. Oh, and EA blew it by.
Way by.
All right, Matt Birmingham now is right in front of the water that he just went into.
Yeah, this
he's waving. He's waving.
Is
hear
12th
me call
shot.
A shot.
His 12th shot.
12th shot. Not
Come on,
bad.
Ham, you
Not
can
bad.
Do it.
And he hit it off the hosel about 15 yards smack dab in the water. He will have to redrop as DJ now scrambles to find another golf ball for him.
Such a devilish hole, Corby.
It's just the toughest. It just murders these guys. Let's take a break. Let's come back.
Baldy.
And let's finish out what is going on the second hole of the April Fool's Open live from the lakes of Grand Prairie now. Well, things have wrapped up. Last segment, David Mino stood over a 20-foot putt to tie Ryan Baldwin for the victory of the April Fool's Open, AFO number 5. It slid just to the right of the hole. after he six-putted his first hole and five-putted his second hole. To his credit, he technically did three-putt his last hole. He got better as the holes went on, but that's going to haunt him. And David Mino joins us now. David, how you doing, buddy?
First of all, congrats to Baldy. He was awesome today.
He was.
Deserving winner. This one kind of hurts, though. I'm not going to lie. It's year four for me playing, and good competition out here and everything, but I just needed a win. I really, like, I could visualize it today. Like, the other ones, it's like, okay, I just want to have fun out here. Maybe I'll win. If not, no big deal. But I really needed that win today.
You were so close. Your putter, like, you played the par three first. You were on the green in two.
Yeah.
And took six putts to get in the hole.
And the thing was, me and David Hulse, my caddy, we were down at the range 20 minutes before we teed off. And we were practicing putting like two or three times. He's like, yeah, you're good there. You're fine. let's work on the drive. Let's use your seven. Your putting's going to be all right. And then that's what bit me at the par three and the par four. And I got, what did I have here? Three?
Yeah, yeah.
Three putted, so that's progress.
Now, do you
think, thriving under pressure.
Do you think you were leaving it short or giving it too much for the most part?
I was giving it too much on the par three and the par four. Like, I just torpedo batted that thing through it, the first one. George saw it. He thought it was funny. I didn't think it was too funny.
Sorry.
But I learned as I went, and I'll be back next year. I'm here to win it next season.
It is different when it counts. You know,
yeah.
When you're putting on the putting green, you're thinking, okay, this isn't too bad. But then you're over it, and you know, okay, if I make this, it's five. If I miss, it's a totally different thing.
Oh, yeah. And if you're far enough away, you're trying to look at the hole and the ball at the same, and I don't really know where I'm aiming. I think this is kind of near it. We'll figure it out.
Welcome to golf. That's the way it is.
It's hard, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I don't think next year, because, you know, we eliminated Tyler after he won 2 years ago. We eliminated Davey after he won last year. I don't think this is so close.
Yeah.
Ryan's
got to. Should be out.
Ryan's got to play next year. Plus, we're running out of golfers.
No.
So we can't just keep eliminating the winner. And Baldy almost freaking blew it on the par three, too. You didn't see this.
No.
Because he had just made a triple on the par five, which, again, for those listening to the triple, it sucks. Mm. Triple is awesome on the par five.
Yeah.
He made an eight. And so all he really had to do was go over here and bunt it up there, and he instantly cooks it left OB, and then he tops it, and then he had a disaster up on the green. He ended up making a nine, right?
Yeah, he ran it by twice.
Yeah, yes, he did. So that left the door open for you, and you were very close. And, dude, you're standing on the fairway on you lie five, and you got a 110, 120-yard shot over the water. Were you shaking hitting that shot?
No, I was actually feeling better as the tournament went on because I took a few swings at the range. I have no idea what I'm doing out here.
Right.
Luckily, when I teed off on the par three on my first hole, I got it okay on that.
Yeah.
But as we kept going and as I was near the water, I was like, okay, I can get it over this now. I've been doing this enough. I'm either going to whiff or I'm going to put it over the water. It's going to be one of the two things.
And it was solidly over the water, but then it went straight into the tree. So what was going through your mind as it was hitting the tree about two-thirds of the way up?
So it was a lot like last year because the same thing happened where I think I was behind a tree last year, and we had to go all the way around and everything. So I was like, okay, just – and I was right near the water. So I was worried as I hit that it would go backwards or something because there was a rock nearby. I'm like, man, I'm going to hit this, and it's going to go backwards into the water. And the gallery is right here, too. Like, this is what everybody's watching.
Yes.
Like, I'm just going to make a fool of myself. But I got it up here. It's okay.
And you had to deal with Elf, who was trying to shoo ducks away before he hit his shot.
Scared me.
I know.
Were they ducks or were they geese?
I think they may have been geese.
Geese. Yeah.
Canada geese?
Gooses.
Yeah.
And geese are mean.
Geese.
Right?
Yeah.
Goosen.
Well, it was a...
It was fun.
It was a heroic
tournament.
You were close, man.
Going to be in my dreams for a long time. Just the six-putt on the par four, whatever that was, and George just standing there shaking his head,
and
letting down David Hulse is just talking crap
the
whole time.
You need...
We suck at this.
We need a win for the incredible Hulse almost as much as we need a win for Mino, right? Like, we need this.
The caddy might fire the golfer in this situation.
Now you're locked at the hip forever. Until you win this thing, you got to keep going because it's a good bit.
Let's go.
All right, Mino. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Mino. Thank you, Golf.
Thank you for the interview that we just did.
Yes.
Thank you, Gordon. Good question.
Describing the interview. All right, let's talk to Matt Birmingham.
Representing Dr. Pepper.
Yes. Our Dr. Pepper emissary. All right, first off, the outfit.
I got it off the back of a truck.
You do look legit, like you could work for the company.
So awesome, and George brought this up. Why aren't all of our golfers sponsored like this?
We should be.
Yeah, legitimate sponsorship.
Yeah. One year I was Canes, one year I was sponsored by Batman.
Yeah.
Last year I was sponsored by the color white.
Yes,
I don't know.
He was.
No, Dr. Pepper.
There was no payoff for the color white outside of him saying that it was the color white, but now Dr. Pepper... It's a classy look.
Thank you.
A classy shirt.
It's a classy drink. I think that if you drink
23
Dr. Pepper,
flavors.
Yeah, 23
how
flavors.
How much free advertising are we going to give?
How many did you consume today?
Three.
Have you had any
three
water?
12 ounce or are we
What's
talking
that?
16 ounce?
He's had no water. Now, Gordon, also, we determined that this is the most exercise that he's had all year, correct?
Correct.
Outside of ticket stock.
Yeah.
Okay, playing in which... He almost passed out because he had too much Mountain Dew one time.
No, it was Dr. Pepper.
Oh,
still.
Dr. Pepper. Yeah. Okay. But you improved this year.
I did. I felt like my game got better the more Dr. Pepper and Uncrustables I had.
What's the Uncrustable count?
We were at three.
What flavors? Like
the chocolate thing. Flavor. So it's bread and chocolate.
One per hole?
One per hole. Chocolate.
Gordon.
Is that Nutella?
Yeah,
he eats chocolate sandwiches for nutrition.
That's what his nourishment is, Dr. Pepper and chocolate sandwiches.
And you think you have a problem like with desserts
and
stuff?
With the fly.
Yes, that's exactly what you're doing. All right, I need you before you leave, and I feel like I'm talking to my son after like he plays a sport. Hand you a bottle of water and slam it. We need you to have a little water. You've exerted a lot of calories and sweat, and yet you're in jeans. For God's sakes.
Can I chase it with a Dr. Pepper?
Yes,
sure.
You can.
Yeah, just drink some water.
He has to chase water with sugar.
Yes. That's the only way it works.
With sugar water.
Why can't he just add carbonation and caramel flavoring and Dr. Pepper flavoring into water?
I don't know.
Then it would be Dr. Pepper.
Yeah, I don't
know. Good
point,
Dave.
Well, Ham, congratulations.
Thank you for having me.
Where'd he go, Ham?
There's no way he'll drink that. He's not going to drink that. He hates water.
No, chug the water. Let's go.
It tastes bad to him.
Look. See?
Is it all right?
He likes it.
It's life-giving.
He really likes it.
Is it better than sauerkraut?
Yes. 100%.
Who's ever compared those two?
I know. Well,
he
tried sauerkraut for the first time a couple of weeks ago, and it didn't go well. So, all right. E.A. Azad.
Hey.
How's the gout?
Listen, I don't know where this rumor about gout came from, but, you know. I'm fine.
You're clean, right?
I'm clean, 100%.
Okay.
But you were limping a little bit. Is it just the distance on the par five that got you?
Whatever happened to me last week, whatever you want to call it, it's lingering, but it's gone. I'm 90. Like I told you guys yesterday on the hard line, I'm at 95% right now. So
yeah.
I'm good. the foot had nothing to do with today.
The E ankle is okay.
Yeah. You look like you may have stepped in a bear trap when you're on your last hole, but.
It was a little bit of a limp. A little bit of a limp.
Listen, it's okay, whatever you want to call it, but that was not the reason for my performance today.
What was?
My lack of athleticism.
Oh. Well,
all right.
This is the first time I've heard you kind of cave when it comes to ability. Yeah. I don't like it. We need cocky EA. You were better than you were last year. You realize that?
Yes. Oh, then again, last year's score was actually wrong. Me and my partner there, Creighton Branch, try to rally that and say, hey, you know, we protested, but nobody heard us. But it's okay. But regardless, this year we did better. I did really good on that one shot over the lake, but if that tree wasn't there.
Yeah.
Yeah. If they took all the hazards out of this course, it really set up.
Exactly.
For you.
And then I had a really good shot over here.
You did.
And then
I got
too aggressive afterwards.
Yeah.
And that's my problem. I get too aggressive.
EA.
Yeah. What was up with the full swing with the putter over here on the par four?
Yeah. I don't know what that was.
Finesse. I think that's your biggest. You just got to have some finesse.
Yeah. He beast modes it every time.
To the shots
that's
around the green.
That's how I approach life. Beast
mode. Oh, okay.
Okay.
And
all right.
I need
a soft beast mode.
I realize golf is not that game.
No, it's not.
Yeah,
no.
There's a lot of touch and technique.
EA, you were like 10 yards away from the green taking full swings, full violent swings. Yeah, do you ever watch golf?
I mean, I've seen them, yeah.
I've seen them.
Them.
Them?
Yeah, them.
Tiger Woods documentaries. Yeah. But do I have this right that EA did not finish last with a score of 47? He's one shot ahead of Ham. Is that right?
No. Ham, 38.
Oh, 38. Okay.
Yeah.
Yes.
Ham, okay, one stroke behind Deddy at 37.
Yeah.
It got you because he had an eight. Okay,
yeah.
It,
again,
okay.
Though, if it wasn't for this par five and that tree, I'd be in this thing.
You'd
so
be in the hunt. I got 20 strokes.
Last year you finished seventh. This mm-hmm. time you finished sixth.
Exactly.
Improved that up.
Yeah.
Not bad.
So there were only six in the field.
Like, I need to be better as a broadcaster. I need to be better as a golfer.
You do. Well, we have some ideas for next year concerning golf and improvement and the April Fool's Open, which we'll discuss at a later time. But, EA, we appreciate your courage once again.
Always. I'm here for the ticket. Thank you, guys. I love you. And Eid Mubarak. Let's go.
Yeah, we love you too. Creighton, well done. Way to drag him through that course. Creighton Branch's caddy, of course. Daddy, you should already have the headset on. Should already
You're
be
showing
on.
Me something.
Sorry, I was communicating with my show host.
Oh, that's okay.
Yeah.
Boring was always Corby. Producing.
That's okay.
Always be producing.
That's right.
Daddy, improvement from last year as well. I feel like everybody improved.
Oh, hell no.
Oh, you were worse?
Oh, God. I almost doubled my score from last year. I was a plus 13 last year.
Oh, my bad.
I was plus 25 today. My bad. I played like recycled ass.
Wow.
Wait, what?
I was terrible.
What happened?
I just was slicing all over the place.
Okay.
Basically.
The right-to-right shot got you.
Yeah, I was horrible.
Were you distracted by the cart girl?
Actually, no. Actually, what it was, Dave, is I'm actually going to give you some credit. I think what it was is good helps produce good. I played with you last year, and you and I finished 1-2.
That's
who was I playing with this year? EA.
EA. You beat him by 10 shots.
I did, so I didn't finish last.
Were you listening to the Grant Boone intro for you?
Yes, I did.
George, did you hear all those?
Yes, those were amazing.
Did you, Gordon?
I did not hear.
You didn't? Okay, so if you could pull up the Jacob Detamore intro, it would be good on Gordon's ears to be able to hear that, Tyler.
So bad. Well, good, but bad.
It's Grant Boone's gift to the world that he's such a hardcore P1 and he knows so much about everybody that's playing in this tournament, everybody at the station. That he is able to concoct these things, and seriously, he does them in like an hour or two. Like,
that's amazing.
Just knocks
okay, so
them out.
He wrote these himself.
Yeah, here's Deddy's intro.
Back for a second appearance in the April Fool's Open is Jacob Detamore, affectionately known as Deddy to all of his friend, and unaffectionately known by literally every woman in DFW on Tinder. The actual Baldy in this year's field. Detamore parlayed a sparsely littered resume with an astonishing lack of ambition to somehow become the producer of America's greatest morning team, the Musers, who loved working with him so much that they decided to drop the final hour of their show. Like his fellow Longhorn lovers, Jordan Spieth and Scottie Scheffler, never mind, he's nothing like them at all. But when play in this tournament of beginners begins, no one knows how to swipe right like Deddy.
And he was right. Look at all the shots that went right today.
I know.
He was totally right about that.
I know. Do you have the EA one right there, too, so Gordon can listen to that?
I knew I was going to take the blame for them shortening their show somehow.
Of course.
Here's Field is undoubtedly the man with multiple Z's in his last name. E.A. Azad, not because he could be a surprise winner so much as the strong likelihood that the noted narcoleptic might, as he so often does at work, actually nod off on the course. Hailing from the golf mecca of Afghanistan, E.A.'s two previous appearances in the AFO have made him the Ben Curanshaw of the Middle East, though his landlord slash roommate slash mother remains dismayed that her single son from the land of arranged marriages can't even set up his own profile on MuzzMatch.com. But all that could change today if he becomes a Grand Islam champion at the AFO. So whatever you do, don't sleep on EA. Unless you're an eligible Afghani Muslim woman, in which case, his mother would like a word.
So great,
God,
dude.
Those are amazing.
I don't know what's better, EA's nickname or Hanukkah Sorenstam.
I think Hanukkah Sorenstam.
Hanukkah Sorenstam is hard to beat, boy. That is pretty strong.
So funny. All right, EA, thank you very much. I'm sorry, Daddy and Daddy. EA. Yeah, and Daddy, thank you very much.
What a day. What a championship.
What a championship indeed. P1s, thank you guys so much for coming.
God bless.
Yes, God bless you. God bless everyone, and God bless Ryan Baldwin, your champion. We'll do a little E-News and community quick hits combo platter next.